And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, we have author Nanice Ellis, who has written a very beautiful little book called Lip Prints, subcaption, Lipstick Not Required. And I really enjoyed the book because it was simple and yet profound and offered some really great opportunities for people to, you know, make some real changes, not only with themselves, but in the world as well. So I really want to welcome Nanice tonight to discuss her book. So thank you, Nanice, for coming.
Thank you so much, Lori. I've been very much looking forward to spending this time with you.
Mm-hmm. So usually what we do is we start off with your journey and how you got to where you are. So tell us a little bit about, what got you to here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it has definitely been a path, as most people can vouch for in their own lives, to get to wherever they are at that point. And my path, you know, it's really interesting because when you're on the path, it looks very different than when you look back upon the path. Because when you're on the path, it looks like, oh, there's all these unrelated things that happen, challenges and opportunities. And then when you get to a certain point, you can look back and you can say, oh, those opportunities and those challenges were really blessings and synchronicities and very divine actions that happened to me in my life to get me to where I am. And so my path has definitely been a challenging one, and I'm very grateful for that, because without those challenges, I wouldn't have gained a certain degree of wisdom that I'm definitely here to share. And so I'm a Queens girl, grew up in Queens back in the 60s, 70s. Found myself in an abusive relationship when I was about 16, 17 years old, and found my way out of it. Mm. And in finding my way out of it, I found myself, found a greater meaning to life. Of course, that didn't happen instantly. That happened over the course of many years. And in fact, soon after I was out of it, I found myself pregnant at 17, after wishing upon a star for something that I needed that I didn't know that I needed, and the universe gave me a little bambino at the young age of 17. But when I decided to have my child, I made certain decisions. And one of those decisions was that I was going to give my child something that I had never had before, and that was a sense of self-esteem. And the problem with that, Lori, is that I had no idea what that was, what that meant, or how to get it. But it set me out on a path to discovering what that was. Mm. And on that path, I discovered a lot more than that. And one of the things that I discovered was that self-esteem really, really is an illusion. And what I mean by that is, as long as we base our feelings about ourselves on what we've acquired, or, you know, what we possess, or what, even what we know, or our relationships, or anything like that, it's not really self-esteem. Because if any of those things can be taken away from us, then we don't feel good. And so I've paraphrased the term, I coined the phrase, or I don't know how you would say that, soul worth or soul esteem. And what that means is really knowing who you are based on your higher self, based on your inner self, based on your God self, if you will. And from that place, no matter what you have or what you don't have, you still feel good about yourself, that your sense of self, your sense of worth is not dependent on externals. And so my life has definitely been a path moving towards that, understanding that, and developing from that. So the way the book Lip Prints came about, which is one of seven books that I've written, I don't know if you actually knew that, Lori, but I love this little book because it's so simple. It's the profound way that anyone, and I do mean anyone in the world, can make a difference, a huge difference right now, today, right this moment in the world. And the way that looks is simply by waking up, remembering who you are, and doing simple yet profound actions. That means, you know, smiling at someone, holding the door open, asking how someone's day is, and really waiting to listen. Now, there are people out there probably thinking, oh, well, how can that make a difference in the world? Mm-hmm. Well, think of it this way. So, I'll give you a story, if that's okay. So, a few years ago, my son Travis, he was about, I don't know, maybe 11 years old, and he was thirsty, so we stopped at a little convenience store, a little 7-Eleven, and I waited in the car for him, and a few minutes later, this woman came over to my car and started banging on my window. And I was thinking, oh, okay, you know, what happened? And she said, is that your son? And then I was really saying, okay, now what happened? and I said, yes. And she goes, I just have to tell you that I was having a really bad day, and he changed my day. And I said, oh, really, what happened? She said, all he did was hold the door open for me and smile at me. And everything, she goes, I could feel everything in my body shift and change just because he did this one kind thing for me, and I just wanted to let you know what an amazing son that you have. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so it changed her day. So imagine all the people that she comes in contact with, her family, her children, her, you know, business associates, people in stores, people that she's, you know, just driving next to on the parkway. That ripples out. She comes over to me. It changes my day. I'm instantly feeling better. Travis gets back in the car. I'm like, wow, that was a really nice thing. He's feeling better. And it ends up in a book. And now everybody who's listening to this is also getting the ripple effect just because my son decided to hold the door open for someone. And this is how we get to change the world. Yes, holding the door open for someone, smiling at someone, just really being there for someone can absolutely and does change the world.
Yeah, that, I mean,
so that's how I got to Lip Prince.
I mean, that's amazing because it's true. I mean, we don't think about the impact that, you know, a smile can give the world,
right,
or just the energy that when we do smile and it's from a place of authenticity, you know, what that offers to the planet, let alone ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really lovely when you can write something so profound and so simple and understand what it means, because I think a lot of people, and I'd love to go back to your story about soul esteem, because I think, you know, that's a huge thing, and especially for women, but not just women. I mean, I think everybody seems to go through the same problem, but I do notice that a lot of women, you know, definitely... See, it's funny because I think men get their self-esteem from their career and women get their self-esteem from their relationships.
Mm.
And so I think it's an interesting difference, but in the same way, it's still reliant on something outside of ourselves and not something within ourselves. And so I'd love to talk about that a little bit more and how, you know, what book that would be for people to read and connect with. But
I talk a lot about this in two of my books, actually, and one of those is called The Infinite Power of You. It's a 22 Secrets to Uncovering Your Power, and really when we and the other one is even Gandhi Got Hungry and Buddha Got Mad. But talking about the infinite power, really, when we get in touch with our power, really what we're looking at is remembering who we really are. And in remembering who we really are, it brings us back to that soul worth, that worth that is not dependent on anyone or anything. And it's really interesting because you see a lot of people walking around and it appears to themselves and others that they really do have, you know, a sense of high self-esteem. But what's transparent usually is that self-esteem is based on externals. And the externals could even be, you know, things like knowledge, education, you know, a strong body, but that's still an external because those things can be taken away. And whenever something can be taken away, it's really an external, even if it's in the body or in the mind. And there's a part of us that knows that and can never really feel secure. If your strength, whether if that's intellectual strength or physical strength, can be taken away or compromised at any time, and you're basing your self-esteem upon that, you're really not having that true sense of security that comes from, you know, what we're calling your soul worth or soul esteem. It's completely different.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say would be the best way of connecting? I mean, I do a lot of heart work, so my, you know, I ask people through my intuition and the way I connect, I get people to try and, you know, work with their hearts and to, you know, do inner reflection work. But, you know, to find that place within themselves that, you know, holds that soul memory of, you know, the qualities and the expression that they want to experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Heart work is definitely a very powerful way to go. It's a process of waking up, and that could look different to everybody. And what I mean by waking up is really, you know, it's going to happen one way or the other. Yeah. It's inevitable that we are all waking up. Everyone's waking up, and we can either be the easy way or the hard way. And the hard way is when we resist the changes that are going on in our lives, and we resist, you know, what's trying to move us forward. The easy way is when we go with it. So no matter what, you're going to wake up. Whoever listening to this, you're going to wake up. And the way that the universe works is it creates pressure and pain to make us wake up. And so that can look like that, and we see this so much around us now in the world, you know, people losing things that were very important to them. And it could be economic, it could be a home, it could be, you know, a whole bunch of things depending on what that person, where the person is in their life. And the universe is showing us, wait, okay, here, even without these things, you're still surviving. You thought that you couldn't survive, but yet you are. And that's very painful. But if we let go of what's been removed from our life, or is being removed from our life, and we breathe into that and move into that heart space, then what happens is we discover ourselves beyond the externals, beyond the possessions, beyond who we thought we were or who we thought we had to be. And so the easy way is to really start letting go. I was before the show, Lori, I was listening to this beautiful poem on YouTube by David White, and I can't remember the exact name of it, but what he was saying was, leave everything behind. And I don't think he necessarily means, you know, leave your home and your family and your children. I don't think he means that. What I do think he means is that none of these things are you, and that you are so much more than your possessions and even your family and even your partner and anything that is outside of you. You're so much more than that. And only when you leave everything behind you reach what he calls this the high place, the high space. And that is this space in what's coming to me now is divine time, which is really timelessness, or divine space, or divine self. It's the divine, and only in the divine can we know who we really are. And so to go back to answer your question, because I know that was a very roundabout way to get here, I would say just start letting go of the things that you thought defined you, and start finding that space in your heart, as you so brilliantly put, Lori, where you really reside. You know, we think we live in our heads, but we don't. We live in our hearts. And one little technique that I often do with my clients, as you know, I coach and I have clients around the world, and this works for almost anybody, anywhere. This does work for anyone, anywhere. So the thoughts that we have, you know, it's like, so the affirmations that we often do, that we're taught to do, instead of keeping them in your head, drop them down into your heart. Mm. So it's like, so an affirmation might be, you know, I am abundant. I am abundant in all areas of my life. And that's just a thought. Drop it down into your heart. You can try it now. I am abundant. And you can see it feels different. It ripples out into your body differently. Mm-hmm. And as it ripples out into your body differently, it ripples out to others differently. And there you are again, making that difference that you want to see in the world.
Right. I mean, you know, it's funny because a lot of people say, you know, surrender, let go. And it's probably the easiest thing to do. And yet it is the most challenging thing to do.
Yes, absolutely. That, you know, that the other part of that is if we don't let go, we'll be forced to let go.
Well, that too, yes.
Yes.
That too, yes. But we kind of go kicking and screaming all the way, at least I do.
Oh, I have too. I'm learning. I'm getting better. Hmm. But yes, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, so... So getting back to Lip Prints, I mean, it's this beautiful little book about, you know, the choices that we make every day and how, you know, it has to do with, you know, the things that we do, the energy we do it with, and the intention that we offer it with. So talk about that.
Yes. Because we can just go through the motions. You see people who are generous all the time, but they're, you know, they're only generous because they're getting something out of it, which is not really generosity. So I'll give an example of this. So you can be walking along the store, walking along the street in New York or wherever, and you know you give money to somebody who's homeless because you feel guilty. Like that's not generosity. In fact, that's the opposite of generosity. You're really taking something from the person that you think you're giving to. Mm. So if I give money to somebody, you know, who's, you know, on the corner, I think they need money. I'm feeling guilty. Oh, I have so much. Oh, I better give to them to alleviate my guilt. So I'm not giving anything to them. I'm really taking something from them so I feel better. The opposite of that is I'm walking along the street, I really feel generous. I really feel that, you know, I want to give something, not because I need anything out of it, but because, you know, either it feels right or I have an abundance or, you know, I'm being guided to do that. And I always check with myself whenever I do something, a generous act, I always would I still do this if I was invisible? So if no one knew that I did this, or even if I forgot that I did it in the next moment, would I still do it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the answer is, oh, no, like I'm actually getting a need met out of it, I won't do it because that's not generosity. But if the answer is, oh, yes, you know, that this is something I truly want to do, then I do. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't feel good about doing it. Of course you do. That's part of the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. But it's the motivation of why you do it. You know, a few years ago, I'm from New York, and I take my kids back every few years so they remember their roots, and they were very young when we left. And we were going in to get some pizza one day, and there was a man sitting out in front of the little pizza parlor, and, you know, he was, you know, having a hard time. He really was. And I went over to him, and I said, may I buy you some pizza? And he looked up at me with these beautiful eyes, and he said, oh yes, would you? And so we went into the pizza place, and I, you know, I ordered him some pizza, and my kids got some pizza, and I got him, you know, soda and a piece of cake, and, you know, whole meal, really. And we went back outside, and instead of just handing him the pizza and walking away, we sat down with him.
Mm.
Yeah. And we had a picnic with this man, and, you know, right there in the middle of New York City on the streets, and just talked with him. And my kids got it. You know, it was like, wow, think first in their minds were, oh, we're giving because that's the right thing to do. But then they got it, and they realized, oh, this is an opportunity to connect with somebody.
Oh, are you still there?
And
you're back.
And it changed them.
We had a brief, so whatever you said there for the last 5 seconds, maybe we missed because it cut out.
I'm not sure what was the last thing that you heard?
Well, you're talking about how your children really kind of got it.
Yeah.
And in a way that
they
got
it. That it wasn't just about like, oh, we should give because we have more. They got it that, you know, the giving and receiving happens at the same time if you allow it. And if the giving and receiving isn't happening at the same time, you're not really giving and you're not really receiving.
That's an interesting thought. I think that needs to be maybe expanded on because that's mm-hmm. that's something that I think a lot of people miss. You know, it's that intention that because we do so many things because of the way we were brought up, thinking that we have to please somebody or do the right thing or, mm-hmm. you know, we're always trying to control our actions by mm-hmm. what we judge ourselves on. And I think that's really what we're talking about here is, you know, really understanding, you know, what our intention is behind the things that we do. Because if we can't start with ourselves, we're certainly not ever going to impact the world.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it starts with us. Mm-hmm. It starts with us and what our intentions. So for the most part, unless examined, our needs run us. Our emotional needs run us, and those needs are very varied and wide, but they always go down to like this need to be loved, and it can look like a need to be appreciated, a need to be understood, a need to be accepted, you know, need to be heard. But these needs, unless they're met, they run us. And so a need to be seen a certain way, need to, you know, have a certain identity in the eyes of others, and that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work because what happens is, when we don't meet our own needs and these needs are running us, we're doing things out in the world that are not of pure intentions and we don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
So an example of this is years ago I was in a relationship with this man, and we worked together, and we actually did real estate together.
Mm-hmm.
And I at some point realized that I had this need to be, I'm going to correct it. At some point I realized that I experienced myself as being unappreciated. That was my experience in the relationship. And of course, as most humans do, I initially blamed my partner. He didn't appreciate me. He didn't appreciate me. And so what I did was I did more and more and more things so that he would appreciate me.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on day after day, month after month, year after year, until I realized that I was completely sacrificing myself in such a way that I was losing myself. And then, of course, I was angry at him. And finally, it got so bad. And again, this is the pressure that moves into pain that keeps moving us in a direction until we wake up. And I had the pressure and I had the pain. He doesn't appreciate me. He doesn't love me. I'm doing more and more and more and more and more until finally one day that pressure, just like as in the birth canal, the pressure pushes the baby out. I woke up. There's the waking up. I woke up and I said, maybe it's me. Of course it was, because it always is us. And at that moment when I realized that maybe it's me, I took my power back and stopped expecting him to appreciate me, and therefore I was no longer compromising or sacrificing myself in order to get his appreciation, and I started appreciating myself. I soon left the relationship, turned the journey of appreciation inward, and never looked for that in the outside world. Again, having said that, I love to be appreciated. I love it. But I don't need it. It doesn't run me. And that's the big difference. And so now it's like I know whatever I do out in the world, and I always look. I always, see to make sure that my intentions are right. That whenever I give, that I'm making sure that it's not because I'm trying to get someone else to do something. Because that's not really giving.
Right.
And now, so then we move into full swing here. So if my giving is pure-hearted, meaning that I don't need anything in return, that means that when somebody does give me something in return, whatever energy that is, that I'm able to accept that openly and without conditions or strings. And this is the flow of energy. It's, it's like that infinity sun is that figure eight. Going back to, yes, giving and receiving in its purest form really are the same thing. And at some point, you lose who's the giver and who's the receiver when that giving and receiving is really pure.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's a really brilliant observation and a brilliant conclusion about giving and receiving. Because I think, again, there's a lot of women who give, and like you say, we're giving for the wrong reasons. We're giving
right.
to be appreciated. We're giving to be loved. We're giving, for all these reasons, wanting to be liked,
yeah.
wanting, for all the reasons that we don't even know unconsciously, or let me say consciously, we don't know why we're doing them. But we thought, that was what we were taught. That was, what our parents taught us. That's how we sort of survived
yeah.
on this world. And so we give, and then we get so frustrated when we're not receiving because we're not actually being open to receive. We're not giving for the right reasons, and therefore we can't receive just by what you've been saying. And I think that's very profound.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So then we get to look at that at an even bigger picture, and we can see that we're constantly being given to. And so it's like going back to this relationship. I can look back on it now and thinking, oh, I gave, and didn't get anything back. But really, when I look at the bigger picture, what I really see is that this man gave me the biggest gift of all because he helped me to wake up.
Mm. Yeah.
And so there's that element that there are gifts being given to us constantly if we're willing to receive them.
Yeah.
And there goes back to that, how willing are, we're going to go easy or we're going to go hard in that waking up process.
Yeah, has it ever really been easy? I'd like to meet somebody where it's been easy.
Yeah.
I think our kids get to benefit from the easy.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, and as it should be. I think they also are here to wake us up too. I think that a lot of children who've come in children come in and they process their parents' energy, especially when we see children who've come in with illnesses or anything mm-hmm. like that. Like why are these children come in? And very often it's to help process their parents' energy, to help their parents heal.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Or they're holding a vibration for the planet that needs
yes.
healed, which, a lot
Absolutely.
Of these kids are doing. Yeah. I mean, they're amazing. These kids that are coming. I mean, there's just, I'm amazed when I see some of these kids and their energy and their eyes. And I'm always, overwhelmed by, the love that is mm-hmm. just beaming through some of them. It's pretty incredible.
It really is. It really is. Yes.
So you do talk about these profound choices that we make, and it's, you also say something about imagine, believe, and create. And I think, you know, a lot of us, when we get to a certain point in our lives, we stop imagining because we've lost that hope, because it's no longer, we've forgotten the magic in the world. We've forgotten that this world is just so incredible, and we've sort of given up.
Yes.
And that passion and that purpose that we have, you know, can only come through that place, that inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing happens until you imagine it.
Mm.
Nothing does. And, you know, the thing is, I love what you just said, Laura. Yeah, it's very profound. We're always imagining. So we're just not conscious of it. So when you look around you in your life, in the room that you're in, wherever you are, you're imagining that. Because nothing's happening out there. It's all happening inside of your head. So that must mean that you're imagining it. So if you don't like what's going on, then imagine something else. It's really interesting to me because, you know, I've been coaching for a number of years, and you know, when people come to me, they're often trying to change something out in their life, like trying to change something in relationships and career, whatever. And nothing's really happening out there. Whatever we're experiencing out in the world is really a reflection of what's going on inside. And so unless we turn the journey inside and shift whatever's creating our external reality, nothing happens. So a story that I love to tell that my mother hates that I tell, but it's true. Years ago, you know, she was learning to use the computer, and she typed up a document, and she printed it out, and she went to the printer, and she, you know, there were a few mistakes. So she gripped her pen and her whiteout, made corrections, went back to the computer, pressed print again, and got the same exact document without the corrections. And it sounds ridiculous, right? And she hates that, she denies the story to this day, but it's true. Every time that we try to change something in our lives without really looking inside to see what's causing it, it's just as ridiculous. It's just as funny. It's just as funny. You know, going back to, you know, my relationship that I spoke about. So as long as I was trying to change the external world, as long as I was just trying to do things in order to, you know, get my partner to change, nothing happened. I was on this endless conveyor belt. But as soon as I said, oh, wait a second, the problem is inside me, then I was able to look inside me, see what was really going on, and shift some things on inside of me, and immediately the external world changed.
Right.
Because it could be no other way.
Right. Yeah. And then lots of things happen as a result. Either the person changes completely because they no longer have to mirror to you what it is, or the relationship, you know, ends, and you get somebody else who can match the vibration you're now working from, which, you know, it's amazing. Relationship seems to be one of those big areas that a lot of people, especially now, it's like people are waking up. So they're starting to realize that, you know, their relationships aren't fulfilling them. They're not meeting their needs. And sometimes it's, you know, this pattern that's reciprocal that they need to work through, and sometimes it's just a matter of the fact that they're starting to wake up and they're starting to realize that they want something more. And it's really fascinating about, you know, the shows that I'm doing with CPS right this month is all about, you know, making space. And, you know, often we hold on to these expectations and they're so unrealistic, and you know, we make these lists and they're so unrealistic, and you know, it's just this kind of ongoing battle with ourselves, because we're wanting to create something, and we're using, you know, these external factors instead of the qualities that we're wanting. We're using these external factors to create from, and like you said, it's never going to happen.
Right.
And we need to
really is inside.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and we need to make that space. We need to be able to let go of some of the things that we're holding on to.
Yeah.
Usually it's the person that got away, or it's that person that, you know, we're comparing everybody to that was in, you know, grade one or something. Or you know, like we do these, we do these things that, you know, it's really kind of funny. And or we have, you know, I've heard so many people, well, I was in a soulmate relationship, and I have a very different definition of what soulmates are, but you know, they hold on to what they thought was this perfect relationship, but if it was really truly meant to be, it you know, they, you don't ever do anything wrong to mess up a relationship. It's
right.
It's two people not working right. together and not in alignment. Right. And so no matter what happens, there's always somebody better because you're growing.
Right. 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 Absolutely. And then there's people that are, well, they, I knew they were the one. Well, if they were the one, they would still be the one. And, right. and that's the point.
Yeah. But they hold on to that because they think that that's the, you know, that was the one. And it's like, well, there will always be somebody at a different alignment level for you that will be even more aligned with what you're wanting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And I think there's also an element now that we're being shown that we have to be the one, that we have to be the one for ourselves, that in order to be in the kind of relationships that we truly want, we first need to find ourselves and be complete in ourselves. That for a very long time, people have been looking for partnerships to complete them. I don't think that the universe is letting us get away with that anymore.
Yeah.
We've got to complete ourselves first. You know, it's like, I think of it like a puzzle. So it's like, so for me, I'm this puzzle. And I have to put myself back together. So it's like, so all the healing that I've done in my life and resolving issues and this and that. And so it's like, I've got these different parts of me, different parts of my puzzle. I put myself back together. Like the puzzle pieces are like members of me. So I'm putting the members back together as in remembering me. I remember me. If I remember me, then, you know, I can, you know, look in someone else's eyes and I can also see them and remember them, maybe trigger something in them. They're putting themselves back together. They've completed their puzzle. They've remembered themselves. They ripple that out to people around them. They help trigger other people's memories of themselves. So it's like everybody's putting their own puzzle pieces back together, becoming complete, full, a full puzzle piece, and then fitting in with other people. And this is, I believe, how we create the kind of partnerships that we want. But not only that, this is how we heal the world. We transform the world. It's like a big puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting how it all sort of comes together. But, I mean, everybody, again, is so focused externally. And you know, financially, this has been a tough time for, you know, North America, I would say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many people are focused on that specific area. And yet when you're in that struggle, it's really hard not to focus. So it's a really interesting dichotomy that we have to sort of work through to get to the other side. And to also, again, realize that, you know, there's something not working inside if it's outside.
Right.
And it's a tough transition to make because you get so caught up in the struggle whenever your basic needs are not being met, you get so caught up in the struggle of the external things that it's difficult to go inside, to remember, to, you know, see that.
It is. And yet that again, that pressure will keep forcing us inside because there's nowhere else to go. And that's when the changes happen. And I think that, you know, it's like there's the being that's us and there's the collective being that is all of us. And I think that we're being asked to make some huge changes on the planet at this time. And that is moving away from the way that our financial economic systems have been created and moving back to, you know, a simpler way of life and a way of community and a way of sustainability, if you may. And things are being exposed now that most people didn't know about. The things that I've learned over the past couple of years, I never would have imagined years ago. I was so in the dark and really understanding, you know, how our world is put together economically and how, you know, if we didn't have, if things weren't in place like they were, there should be no reason that anybody should ever have to pay for food. It's ridiculous if you really look at it. There should be no reason. Everybody on this planet should eat and eat well, and everybody, there's enough for everyone. If our planet wasn't based on a monetary system so that, you know, some can get rich and some can thrive, that no one would go hungry. Everybody would be fed. Everybody would be sustained. Everybody would live in a state of great abundance because that's what this world and that's what this earth really naturally provides for us. And there have been some very creative and powerful beings over the course of a very long time who have figured out, you know, ways to, you know, stack things in their favor. So, and many have suffered. And now it's time we're waking up to that and taking our power back. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending how you look at it, it means going through a time of upheaval. Mm-hmm. So that we can find ourselves again and create a world based on the natural abundance that exists for everyone and not just some.
Right. And it's, I mean, it is, it's a huge transition that we're all going through. And
yes.
And it's really fascinating to watch people and how they respond to it or, in most cases, unconsciously react to it. And
yes.
And it really has to be that more conscious response. And looking at it from trying to see it from the bigger picture, trying to imagine it from the bigger picture and, mm-hmm. and what the role that we're playing and the role that others around us are playing in that picture to make it, as you talk about in the book, you know, to finding that harmony, finding, you know, our unity and our connection.
Yes. Yes. Naturally there. I mean, it's when you remove all the externals, it's what we gravitate towards. We gravitate towards harmony. The universe gravitates towards harmony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can get that through gratitude, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's probably one of the biggest areas, and it's also one that's talked about a lot and not always one that people necessarily really get from their heart, because gratitude, it's just like, you know, the smile that you talked about in the beginning, and it has to be for the right reasons. Like, it has to be from a place of pure
yes.
openness.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. Gratitude, I love that you brought up gratitude. I believe it's one of the highest forms of love and expression. And it's when we remove everything else, it's what we arrive at. Even, you know, it's like even when we look at forgiveness, if you haven't arrived at a place of gratitude, you really haven't experienced true forgiveness. To go around and saying that, I think, is a part of the transformation, the part of the ripple effect for the act of forgiveness. And so many people, I have forgiven so and so. I've forgiven my mom. I forgive. If you have to even say I have forgiven, that means that you haven't, because that concept that there was anything to have forgiven still exists.
Right.
So it's like when we really forgive someone, the idea that there was anything to forgive completely vanishes, and you can't even say, "Oh, I have forgiven." Because there was nothing to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we know that we have truly experienced gratitude when we arrive at this place. We know that we've truly experienced forgiveness when we arrive at this place of gratitude.
Truly. I mean, I think it's amazing how forgiveness is one of those areas that if you're not from that place, I mean, I swear I knew this concept in the 80s, and I remember so many people. I mean, there's so much talk out there about forgiveness and mm-hmm. how important it is, and it truly is important. But again, if you do understand it from that higher place and that higher perspective, it's exactly what you said. There is nothing right. to forgive, because everything has been put in place to assist us to grow. I mean, that's what
right.
every challenge, every mm-hmm. pain, every opportunity has always been about our spiritual growth and
right.
evolution.
Yes.
It's yeah, always
everything's conspiring on our behalf.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
And
yeah.
to get people to see that sometimes, you know, like I remember reading Deborah Ford's book about, you know, finding the gift in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, like, there is a gift in every single thing. And when you find the gift, all the angst, all the anger, all the frustration, all the pain, all the grief, all the suffering goes away.
Yes.
But it has to be the true gift. I mean, you really have to be able to find the true gift in everything, in the situation that you're trying to work through.
Mm-hmm. One thing that helps is just to ask, show me a higher truth. What's the real truth that's going on here? What's the real truth? And so an example of that is, there's a lot of women on this planet who have who've experienced abuse, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can stay in this victim mentality. Oh, this person did something for me. And by the way, even if somebody gets to this place, oh, I'm a survivor, they're really still holding on to the victim mentality, because in order to declare yourself a survivor, you still have to hold on to this concept of being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Little segue there. But anyway, so there's so many women on this planet, and men too, but talk about women for just a moment here, experienced themselves in abusive relationships. And it's, you know, we go through our lives, many of us, thinking, oh, this person did something to me. You know, this is an awful person. They took something from me. But when we ask to see a higher truth, as in, show me a greater truth here, it may not be what we thought it was. And we may discover that the relationship was really designed to help wake us up and remember who we really are.
Yeah.
Or many other, it could be many other gifts. But it's. I don't think that any. In fact, I know that nothing ever happens to us that is ultimately supposed to diminish us. That everything that happens to us is really designed to wake us up. And you know, whether we use it at that moment or we wait or we never use it, it's up to us. But there's nothing that happens that's not a gift. I totally agree with what you said, Laurie.
Mm-hmm. And again, yeah. It's that choice. It's that choice,
yes,
of choosing to believe that, you know, we are the ultimate co-creator, or we are, you know, everything is happening from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I also think that we have, agreements with people,
yeah,
to help wake us up at different points, and even agreements to protect, you know, wisdom that we carry within our beings. And, you know, sometimes the best way to protect that wisdom is by asking someone to keep you from remembering who you really are. Because if you remember who you really are, then that wisdom is out into the world, and then suddenly it can be dangerous, or it's not time. But the thing is, it's time now. It's time for all that wisdom to come out, that so many of us are carrying ancient wisdom, and it's revealed in remembering who we really are. And so that's why it's so important at this time in history to wake up remembering who we really are, because we've released this wisdom that we've been holding on to, and this is going to empower us individually and collectively to access greater gifts than we've ever known possible in modern history.
Mm-hmm. That's a good segue into talking about purpose, because I know in your book, mm-hmm, that you mentioned the fact that, you know, we're making it so complicated.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Purpose, it's the easiest thing in the world. I love this. Yeah. So when I teach, sometimes I'll ask, how many people here believe they have a purpose? And like every hand will go up, and then I'll say, okay, how many people know what that purpose is? And virtually every hand goes down. People don't know what their purpose is, but it's so, so easy. So when a purpose is always about giving. Oh, there we are, back to giving again. It's always what we give. So your purpose is always what you give out to the world. That's very clear. So when we look at any purpose, no matter who it is, and we reduce it down to, okay, what is this really a purpose of? It's always about giving love.
Hmm.
So think about that. No matter what your purpose is in the world, when you reduce it down to what it really is, it's always about giving love. Okay. So if it's always about giving love, then we automatically know, no matter who we are, no matter where we live, that our purpose is to give love. So if we know that our purpose is to give love, then why wait for that, you know, magical talent or whatever gift to reveal itself to you, when you can just right now do your purpose, which is to give love? And you can give love in every way possible, every day. There's no limitations. And the funny thing about that, Laurie, is that when we come from that approach of, oh, my purpose is to give love, and we just automatically start giving love, because we know that's our purpose, suddenly that unique thing that we came here to do, that we've been looking for, is revealed to us, because we're no longer holding ourselves back, we're no longer limiting ourselves, we're no longer, you know, putting conditions on what it looks like to give,
mm-hmm,
to be purposeful. Truly amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of people, you know, think that they have this huge thing. I mean, I think that's the thing, putting this simply, but, you know, we all have this unique quality that is,
mm-hmm,
us. And I think that is truly our purpose. I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's that unique expression of how we express love that is truly,
mm-hmm,
the purpose of who we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so when you go out and express love, when I say go out and just express love, just give love, it's going to be in your unique way. It can't be in anybody else's way. It's going to be in your unique way. And that comes out of being who you really are. And so then we can say quite confidently that your purpose is simply being who you really are and expressing love from who you really are. That's it.
Yeah. Which makes it pretty simple, doesn't it?
It's so simple. You know, and it's funny because even as I say that, even as I said, your purpose is simply being who you really are and expressing love from who you really are. I can feel my whole body just tingle with excitement.
Hmm. Yeah. And in that unique way, because we're all so different. I tell people, you know, it's your soul expression that is what, you know, thrives you. Like it's that soul expression mm-hmm. that, you know, that inspires you each day, or, you know, touches your heart, or touches you in a way that it wants to express itself. And we knew it as children because we just were it. We didn't really think about it. We thought out of it because we were taught out of it. We were learned out of it by being told to be something else. And then it's really a remembering of that same, you know, expression that was, you know. And so I say to people, you know, sometimes it's joy, sometimes it's passion, sometimes it's compassion. I mean, there's so many different ways it can be expressed. And our soul's thriving to do that. Like it vibrates at a way that it's like, oh, yes, 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 please.
Wow. Beautifully said.
I think it's just such an incredible journey right now. And I think there's so many people that are, like, as you say, they're making it so difficult. And we get caught up in that. I mean, I get caught up in that. And, you know, the simple reminder that it's, you know, it's this really beautiful thing that is just so innately present within us. It's us who's hiding it all the time. Mm-hmm. Behind these walls within our hearts, you know.
Because we're so afraid. We're so afraid of getting hurt. You know, we're so afraid of being abandoned or rejected. And the interesting thing about that is that when we hold ourselves back because we're afraid of being abandoned or rejected, we're really abandoning and rejecting ourselves, which is the real wound and the real pain. If you accept and you love yourself and accept yourself completely unconditionally, it doesn't matter who rejects you or abandons you. A wound isn't created. The wounds are created when we reject and abandon ourselves. We don't accept ourselves. And I think that's the difference when we talk about, you know, making things easier, making things hard. I think it comes down to that, whether we're truly, and, you know, I want to move even beyond, you know, unconditional self-acceptance. I want to really emphasize just this embracing oneself, like just falling in love with oneself, just really like, wow, I get to be me, which is beyond acceptance. You know, I used to say that, you know, the key to all healing is unconditional self-acceptance. And I still believe that's true, but I think that was really small thinking on my part. I think that the key to living our most extraordinary lives is really embracing the magnificence of who we are, which is so beyond, you know, unconditional acceptance. Mm-hmm. And this means warts and all, you know?
And that, you know, again, that's an area that, you know, how do you do that? How do you practice? How do you open yourself up when you have this imaginary belief that your heart has been broken, or that you can be abandoned, or that in these wounds that seem sometimes not even, like, they sometimes feel part of the collective unconscious, where, you know, you come down on to the planet and you pick up, you know, you pick up the cultural things, you pick up the things from, you know, your area, your country, and then you've got, you know, your lineage, then you've got the lineage of your family, and then you've got, you know, your own things that you're picking up to work through. And it seems, and yet it's so simple when you can see that it's, you know, this expression, it's this unique person that we are.
Yeah, you're right. We carry so much of that, and, you know, society ingrains it into us that we can be abandoned, that, you know, we can, that our hearts can break. Well, no one ever told us that our hearts are supposed to break, and this is how we evolve, that the heart is designed to break open. and when we allow, I love that giggle, when we allow our hearts to break open, this is when we discover more and more of who we really are. And you know, this is, I discovered this recently. I was actually doing a shamanic ceremony, and nice. There were some things that came up for me that I actually experienced some, what I would define as shame about. And there was, like, you know, that pain and pressure that I was talking about. I had to look at it. And what I ended up doing is just exposing myself, you know, energetically or metaphorically, to divine source, which I call God, but whatever, you know, our listeners would call divine source. And I just really let God see me, you know, warts and all. So the part that I was, like, you know, ashamed of or you had fear about, or, you know, if it's for somebody else, if it's, you know, if it's an abandonment or, you know, whatever that pain is, just letting your divine source just see that and just literally just stay open to that. What ends up happening is it feels like a melting away. And it at first may feel like pain and pressure again, but if you just allow yourself to be exposed, it's a melting away and a melting into self, and you end up at love. And so it's really about being exposed. This is what intimacy is about. So it's like when we go into a relationship and we expose ourselves to each other in intimacy, the healing takes place. And if we're, you know, if we don't have those intimate relationships, there's a divine source, divine force, God, that we can have this intimate relationship with and just expose ourselves, just become completely vulnerable and completely exposed and let that love shine in, because that's what heals us. That's the healing.
Yeah. I mean, that's powerful. And I know that shame is an area that a lot of people are working on right now, because I think it's becoming bigger and bigger topic these days. And, you know, it's funny because we are so familiar with shame that we don't often recognize that that's what we're doing. We're shaming others. We're shaming ourselves.
Yeah.
And we don't see it. We don't even, because we're just so familiar with it as the way we've been brought up.
Yes. It's the dark side of judgment. So judgment's gotten a bad rap over the years. I don't think judgment is a bad thing. I mean, we need judgment. We teach our children judgment. You know, when to cross the street. You know, what friends are the best friends. You know, all kinds of things. Judgment is a really, really good thing. It's the shame aspect that I think is the dark aspect of judgment, and it's where we feel diminished, where we diminish ourselves and we diminish others. And I think it's coming more to the surface now, because it's time for it to be healed, that we can't go any further individually or collectively as a global society until the shame is healed. And you know, in the eyes of the divine, there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, it's like, so we go back to the exposed, being exposed again, exposed versus being embarrassed. You know, we're embarrassed, we hide, we're exposed, you know, we're open. And so in the arms of a lover, and we expose ourselves, and our lover just loves us no matter what, you know, and the lover, whether that's a lover of a man, woman, or a couple situation, or if the lover is, you know, a parent or a friend, somebody who loves us, we expose ourselves to them, they just love us, and the healing occurs, you know. And the same is true with the divine. You know, it's like I expose myself to whatever it is that I have that shameful judgment about, and I'm just loved, and in being loved, the healing happens.
Yeah.
I used to work at a crisis center for many, many years, and I heard everything you can imagine. And one day this young man came in. He was about 17, 18 years old. His parents had kicked him out, and they kicked him out because they had discovered that he was sexually abusing his younger sister and had gotten her pregnant, and only found out because she ended up in the hospital with an ectopic pregnancy.
Mm.
And he came in with such shame, and I listened to him, and I saw him not as this terrible person, but, you know, I really understood, you know, what drove him to the things that he did. It was love. He just wanted love. He just wanted to be seen, and he acted out inappropriately. But something happened in that exchange between he and I, and because I just saw him as the beautiful soul that he was, and his shame started to melt away. And I think that this is what we're being asked to do in ourselves for ourselves and for others, to be sit with somebody and just to see, you know, like from the movie Avatar, just I see you beyond, you know, all the things that you know may judge yourself or others may judge yourself. I see you, and in that there's a healing and a melting that takes place, and this is the transformation that we're all looking for and are experiencing.
Yeah, I thought that was a very profound statement in Avatar as well, where you can, you know, have someone see you. I think that's, you know, truly what we all are looking for. And I guess, you know, to find that, we need to start seeing in others. And I guess that's also, you know, what Lip Prints is about, is about making those connections, not for the sake of, you know, not for the sake of receiving anything, but just for forgiving, just for right. giving to others and seeing into them. Just to see into them allows you. And so this is where, you know, sometimes if you can't see it within yourself, which some people have a real difficult time with, if you can start seeing it in others, if you can start looking at the people that you admire, and even though you're putting them on a pedestal, but the fact that you can admire right. certain qualities about other people, it means that they're within you as well.
Yes.
And so we go through
this. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting thing. And so I think that's what makes Lip Prints, you know, this profound little book that can help change your life and the world, because it's helping you to make these connections with others, even if they're, as you say, you know, five words or less. It's that connection that we are all thriving for, we're all seeking, we're yes. all trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. All we want is just to be seen. That's all we want. Mm-hmm. And when we start seeing other people and they feel seen by us and then they see us, it's like this beautiful game of divine ping pong that happens between two people, that figure eight again, that infinity sign, and then that ripples out into the world. Think of all the figure eights you could create and all the relationships that you have.
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I think I liked the last thing that you sort of wrote about in the book is, you know, list 20 things that you can do that can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah. you know, the more people think about, you know, it's a really simple book. It's really about, you know, smiling and maybe looking the person in the eye when you smile. And mm-hmm. making that connection so that you can start, you know, feeling that within and doing it for the reason of authenticity and, you know, to just make that connection.
Right. It will change your day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you're having a bad day, just start seeing people, start doing things for people, and my goodness, it will wake you up to who you really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful.
It really is. And I think it's, you know, you've written such a simple book, but it, again, it is truly a profound book. And I, you know, I honor this time that we've been able to spend together. I'd love to interview you on a couple of your other books.
Thank you.
What is there anything happening that you would like to tell people about?
Well, one of, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listen to shows, you know, listen to shows and they're like, well, okay, so I need something tangible. You know, how do I do? And certainly Lip Prints is a great, great model and facilitator of that. And I also have something else on my website that is just truly amazing. It's called The Pledge, P-L-E-D-G-E. And you can even just go on YouTube and Google The Pledge and put my name in, Nanice, N-A-N-I-C-E, and it will come up. And The Pledge, it's a pledge that you make to yourself. And it helps you create the life that you really want. It's a step-by-step way to really get back in touch with yourself, to take your power back, really become that love that you want to experience and become the change that you want to see in the world. And it's available on my website at nanice.com, and that's N-A-N-I-C-E.com. That's N-A-N-I-C-E.com or N-A-Nice.com. And you can take the pledge. And you'll actually, it's free, and you'll be able to print out a certificate with your name on it that says, I took the pledge, and hang it on your wall, and it's just really, really incredible, and I'm I'm very, very proud of this because it really helps people to be that change they want to see in the world. And while you're on my website, there's tons and tons of free articles about waking up, enlightenment, being the difference, about love, about faith, you name it. I have a radio show on LA Talk Radio, and it's archived on my radio on my website as well. It's Chai with Nanis, and it's just a great show, and I just would love to share that with everybody. And I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear, you know, if anybody wants help, advice, how to be that difference, how to make shifts in the world, just email me. Just go to my website and email me, and that's what I'm here for. And it brings me great joy to be a facilitator of global peaceful awakening.
So. Nice. Well, thank you. This has been a great pleasure and a great honor, and I've enjoyed this very much. So thank you.
And as have I.
Good. All right. So, yeah, let's connect with you, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much, Laurie. Thank you.
You're welcome.